7, please. Ecclesiastes chapter number 7. Now, last week I started a new series of messages entitled Thriving in the Midst of Chaos. Tonight, I'm going to take a break from that for at least a week and maybe a couple of weeks. But tonight I want to preach to you on a message that I've just entitled Reflection or Reflecting and Learning. And I want to take that tonight from Ecclesiastes chapter number 7 in the first four verses. Solomon is writing here. And here we go, verse number 1. The Bible says a good name or a good reputation is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. Let that sink in for just a few moments, because we think just the opposite. But God said in this text, hey, your day of death is better than the day of your birth. He goes on in verse number 2, he says, it is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by sadness of the countenance the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of the fools is in the house of mirth. Most of you were like me on Wednesday, going about your normal day, your normal task. I was in my office. I was getting ready to head to the Good News Club, and I was trying to finish things up before I left. And my phone dinged, and I looked at my phone, and I got a notification that Charlie Kirk had been shot. I have to be honest with you, when I heard that, my heart sunk. I really didn't know all the details of it. It just informed me that that event had taken place. I went on and got in my pickup and drove over to the school, and we started Good News. And I have to admit that while Stacy was teaching his lesson, I had my phone out on my table, and my phone lit up, and I read the notification, and it said that Charlie Kurt had been killed, or he was dead. I don't know how you feel about that, but I want you to know that my heart broke when I heard that news. It broke for many reasons, and maybe probably some of the ones that you would think, but number one is my heart broke because he was a young man. He was only 31 years of age. He had so much to give. He had already given so much to our society and already given so much to our nation. He had a promising life, and senselessly his life was snuffed out. My heart broke because I knew that he was married. And there was a young wife that was going to have to bury a husband far, far too early. I can't imagine what hearing those words would be like at such a young age. Your husband has been killed. My heart broke for her. My heart broke for his two young children. I can't imagine what it would be like to go through life and not have a father. I had a wonderful father. I had a strong father, and I really didn't appreciate my father until I got later into my adult years. But I want you to know I needed a father, and I thank God every day that I had a father in my house that was raised me, that was there every single day of my life. He was there protecting me and watching over me, and as a young man, he provided for me. And I begin to think about those two children that were going to have to live their life without a father, and my heart broke for them. My heart broke because he was an influential leader among our young people. He was making great strides and making great inroads with the younger generation. Matter of fact, I've heard since then and even before this that now more young people are desiring to get married and to have a home and to have children. There are more and more people that are young people are wanting to get back to good moral values. Why? Because he stood up unapologetically and he stood up with courage and said, you know what? God's way is the best way. The way to raise your home or the way to raise your children, God's way is the best way. The best way to live your life is God's way. And young young people all over this nation was hearing him. He was making a great influence upon them. And I believe my mind broke because I thought, hey, another great leader has left. He was a good example of what a Christian layman can do to further the gospel. I don't know if any of you have ever listened to him. I'll be honest with you, I haven't listened to him tons over the years, but I am very familiar with him. I've listened to him a lot, but I can't tell you how many times I've heard him stand up in front of a crowd that was against him, that was against the Word of God, and say this: you know what? You've got to be saved. You've got to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to put your faith and your trust in Jesus, and the only way that you can get to heaven is to put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, I'm telling you, he was a better evangelist and a better presenter of the gospel than many preachers that fill pulpits across this nation. And when I heard that he died, I want you to know that my heart broke because of that. He was a strong defender of what a relationship with Jesus can do for an individual, for a family, and for a nation. I heard him say multiple times, and I put a quote on the screens today where he said, you know what, the most important thing in my life is my faith, my family, and my nation. We need to get back to that. There was a time in our nation when men would stand up and say, you know what, the most important thing is my relationship with the Lord, my family, and my nation. I don't know exactly why he was killed, and I'm not going to get into that. As a matter of fact, when I move away from this, this will be all that I'll talk about him. But I know one thing. He was a strong defender of truth. Amen. He was a strong defender of truth. George Orwell, many years ago, said this: the further society drifts away from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak the truth. I want to read that to you once again, because we're seeing that in our society today. The further a society drifts away from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak the truth. You may not have heard this story, but on Wednesday they had another school shooting. In Colorado, there was a young man, or somebody walked into a high school and shot three students. They didn't kill them, but they were critically injured. When I hear things like that, my heart breaks. Just a few days ago, maybe a week or so ago, there was a man that walked into a Catholic church in Minnesota, killed three children, and shot 17 others that were injured. I don't know what your heart does, but my heart breaks when I hear those things. At the first of the week, we begin to see videos of a young girl, Ukrainian girl, walking into a subway in Charlotte, North Carolina. Who would think about Charlotte, North Carolina? But she walked in and she just sat in her seat, and behind her was another man, and to her right was a lady, and behind that lady was another lady. There was four or five ladies in this car, and men in this car. She's just sitting there and she's scrolling. Many of you have probably seen this video. She's scrolling through her phone, and all of a sudden the man that's sitting behind her, he reaches into his pocket. He pulls out, looks like to me, a pocket knife. I don't know exactly what it was. And there's no communication. There's no talking between these people. He stands up and he begins to stab her, and she sits there and bleeds to death. But you know what was sad about that? Not one of those other people in that car stood up to help her. The lady to her right was no further than me to CJ. And while that was taking place, she just sat there and watched her phone. The person behind them just sat there and watched her phone. And she sat there and she bled until she died. And then on Thursday, we remembered the 3,000, over 3,000 people who lost their lives 24 years ago. Isn't it hard to believe that it's been 24 years? 24 years ago, we remembered those that lost their life in the World Trade Centers, in the Pentagon, and in Pennsylvania. Every year when they read those names in New York, I try to watch a little bit of it, and I watch middle-aged young women and young men stand up and say, I lost my mom, or I lost my dad. And every once in a while through that, they read names, and then they allow someone to just speak about one of their loved ones for just a few moments, and they talk about what their maybe their father, their cousin, or their aunt, or their brother would have been. And I want you to know that when I think of that, my heart breaks. Now, I know that when I start thinking a lot, when we start talking about death and those things, I know that most of us don't want to talk about that. I know it's not the kind of message that we want to hear, because we want to talk about positive things, and I believe that there are times that we ought to talk about positive things. I'm not against those things, but I also understand, if I understand the scripture right, and especially this text right, there are times that we ought to talk about death, and that we ought to talk about difficult things and hard things. Now, I want to say something, and I want to say it with the absolute kindness that I can. I'm not going to say this accusatory. It comes from a good place in my heart. But there is a trend that is taking place in our nation that I promise you, I don't really understand, and hopefully one of these days maybe somebody can sit down and explain it to me. I read the obituaries in my hometown every single day. Coleman is smaller than Slayton, but there's hardly a day that goes by that people don't die almost every single day in Coleman. They just have a ton of funerals. But one of the things that I have noticed over and over and over and over is this: that people die and there's no memorial service whatsoever. Now listen to me, I understand the complexities of that. I understand funeral services are really expensive these days, and I'm not being accusatory, but I'm just saying this, that this passage of scripture says, hey, there's a time that we need to go to the house of mourning. There's a time that we need to go to a funeral service. There's a time that we need to be confronted with death, because, hey, when we get to those places, we're better for it, because it causes us to think, and it causes us to think about not only their lives, but it causes us to think about our lives. You come to this text, and Solomon says this: a good name, a good reputation, it's better than precious ointment. All of us would agree with that. There's not one person in here tonight that would stand up and say, you know, I don't agree with that. There's nothing like having a good reputation. There's nothing like having a good name. But then he goes on and he says this: the day of death is better than the day of one's birth. It's better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for that is the end of all men. And notice this: and the living will lay it to heart. Just a few weeks ago, one of the premier preachers and premier modern day theologians in this country died. His name was John MacArthur. I doubt there was very many people in the hospital that day when John MacArthur was born. I doubt that there was a big celebration of hundreds and hundreds of people the day that John Mark MacArthur was born. Matter of fact, I'm sure it was just his parents and maybe a few family and maybe a few friends. He lived for over 80 years, almost 90 years. He had a national radio program. He had a national TV program. He was one of the premier preachers for a number of years of our nation. But when he died, he had a good reputation. He had a good name. And when word began to spread all through this nation, and when they had his funeral, I want you to know there was great celebration. There was great honor paid to John MacArthur because of his life, because he lived a life that was dedicated to the Lord. He lived a life that had character. He lived a life that had integrity. He had a good name. And Solomon is saying, hey, when we live our life with character and integrity and we have a good name, hey, there is far more honor in our death than there is in the day that we were born. And to make it better, he gets to go to heaven and see Jesus and spend all of eternity. many years ago. Matter of fact, you can still listen to him on the radio today. A guy by the name of Adrian Rogers. I always loved to listen to Adrian Rogers because I always thought he had the voice of God. I mean, he just had one of those great, majestic, manly voices, and he was a wonderful preacher. He had one of the largest churches in America, the Bellevue Baptist Church in Memphis, Tennessee. National radio program, national TV program, like I say, you can still listen to him today. A wonderful preacher, a wonderful man. But I'll never forget listening to the funeral service. And one of the things that impressed me more than anything else, and he had all these dignitaries that came and talked about how wonderful Adrian Rogers was, but the thing that impressed me the most was one of his daughters got up. She began to talk about her daddy. She began to talk about how her daddy was the same at home as he was in the pulpit. She began to talk about how wonderful her daddy was and how much her daddy loved her. And she began to talk about all of the relationships, the good times that she had with her daddy. And I'm telling you, there's not a greater honor than all of that. That was greater than all of those major dignitaries. But I'm telling you, the day that Adrian Rogers died and they had his funeral, the day of his death, because he had a good name and a good reputation, was far greater than the day that he was born. I take it a little bit closer home. I think about Nita Connor. I don't know who was there when Nita died, was born. I don't know if she was born in a home or in the hospital. You know, she is pretty old, so there's no telling. She might have been born at home. I didn't know Nita when she was young. I don't know what kind of person she was, but I know the 15 or 16 years that I knew her, she had a good name. She had a good reputation. I would be willing to bet you as soon as I said that name, the first word that came into your mind was kindness, was gentleness, was goodness. How many times have you walked into this building and she came up and hugged you? Many of you probably got a phone call at one time and it was Nita. And Nita was saying, I'm praying for you. I sure do love you. Can I tell you, because she had a good name and she served the Lord, the day of her death was better than the day of her birth, because she spent all of eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. Ed Bigham was my pastor almost my entire childhood and teenage years and just a few years into my early 20s. He wasn't a dynamic preacher. But you know what he was? He was a preacher of the Word of God. You never came into church where he didn't take this old book and preach this old book verse by verse and chapter by chapter. He was a man that loved missionaries. Over his years, gave hundreds of thousands of dollars to missionaries. I'll never forget, as a young man, they would have men's meetings, and maybe the church would get in a little bit of financial difficulty. We didn't have a really big church, 70 or 80 people, and maybe the finances would get a little tight, and he would call a men's meeting, and everybody knew what he was going to talk about. Hey, we need to take on a new missionary. That was his solution to financial troubles. Hey, we're going to give more to God, and we're going to give more to sending the gospel throughout. And you know what, man? God just blessed, and God blessed that church. And he had five kids. He lived on a very small income. But because he was so missionary-minded, you know what God did for him? He bought some land out by Bradshaw, Texas. That's kind of out where Winners. He was slowly paying on it, and one day they went out there and they drilled some oil wells on that thing. And in the last probably 25, 30 years, money just flowed in from everywhere. And you know what he did with a lot of that? He gave a lot of that to missions, to send missions there. I'll never forget, I was here when he died. I can't remember who called me, but I got in my truck the day they had his funeral, and I drove to Bradshaw, Texas. Does anybody know where Bradshaw, Texas is? Am I the only one? Amen, Wayne. There's not, 20 people there. He pastored a little old church after he retired for a number of years. But you know what? I went there. to pay honor because he had a good name. He had a good reputation. He was truly a man of God. There wasn't all of the splendor and spectator things that happened with Adrian Rogers or John MacArthur, but I'm telling you, he was a man of God, and the day of his death was far better than the day of his birth. All the years that I was growing up in the Central Baptist Church in Coleman, there was a Sunday school teacher by the name of Roberta Ryder. She came and brought her two kids every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. You've heard me talk about her. She always had the largest Sunday school class. Always. No one else ever had a larger Sunday school class. And I can't remember but she taught the younger age kids. And I don't ever remember Roberta Ryder coming to church without having some other kids in her car. She went out and she loaded them up and she brought them to church every Sunday. At 52 years of age, she got colon rectal cancer. At that time, I had already come back, and I had just come back to Coleman, and I was her pastor. And I have to be honest with you, when I heard that she had got cancer, I went to visit her. And I cried because I loved her. I'd go to visit her. She took chemo, and I'd go to visit her, and she lost all of her hair, and she'd have those rag tops on her head. And every day that I would go and visit her, she would encourage me. I'll never forget standing in that chapel there at Stevens Funeral Home, in that place jam-packed, people standing around the walls. And I said, I just want to see something. How many of you were either brought to church by Roberta Ryder or you was in her Sunday school class? Would you please stand? People all over that chapel stood up. Young adults, older adults, little kids stood up. Can I tell you, I didn't understand why God would take her at 52 years of age, but I'm telling you what, the day of her death was far greater than the day of her birth. That's what Solomon is saying. Solomon is trying to look back across his life and he's trying to understand the meaning of life. And in chapter number 3, he says, you know what, there's a time to be born and there's a time to die. And then when he comes to this text, he says, you know what, one's death is better than one's birth. In verse number 2, it's better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. Other translations would say it this way: it's better to go to a funeral service than it is to go to a party. Doesn't that kind of rub us the wrong way? But that's what Solomon says. He says, for the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of countenance, the heart is made better. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of the fools is in the house of mirth. What are some of the greatest lessons that you've learned in your life? Have they been at the pinnacle when everything has gone well, or have they been in the valley when things are not going well? The greatest lessons that I've learned that stuck with me has been in the valley, or when I've watched people go through hard and difficult times. Right quickly, and I promise you I'm going to do this quickly. When we go to the house of mourning, or when we see the things that we have seen this way, things that we've seen this week, how can it benefit us? Number one, it can teach us that life is uncertain. We better be ready for eternity. I'd heard that Charlie Kirk, at the first of the week, was in Japan. He had flown in and he was beginning these new tours that he has done for several years, going to all these college campuses and just sitting down and debating with students. But I can guarantee you this, that when he got up on Wednesday morning, he never even thought that it would be his last day on earth. He was a young man. 31 years of age, he had done this over and over. He had done what he was doing hundreds of times. And I'll guarantee you, he didn't get up that morning thinking, you know what, this is going to be my last day. But you know what it was? This week in Coleman, one of my good friends has a brother that is exactly my age. He died this week and they had his funeral. He was 63 years of age. Yesterday, I was looking at the obituaries, and there was a young man by the name of John Mark Weather that was 3 years younger than I was. He was a freshman when I was a senior. At 59 years of age, he died. They're having his funeral service this week. Those little kids that got up and went to that school in Minnesota, those parents never thought, you know what, hey, this is going to be the last day of my child's life. I'm going to care. No, they never thought about that. But you know what? It happened. Life is uncertain. God doesn't promise us tomorrow. He only promises us today. We better be ready. We better be ready for eternity. We have better make sure that we've made our preparations for heaven. If you're here tonight and you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus, you don't know where you would spend eternity. I'm begging you tonight, please don't leave this place without knowing where you're going to spend eternity. There's not a one of us know for certain that we're going to be back here this next week. We might and we might not. You've heard me tell this story. Many of you that are here know this. I'll never forget, Larry Johnson started coming to church. Him and B started coming to church. And on Sunday morning, when we was taking up offering and stuff, he come up here and he stood right here on Sunday morning and he took up an offering. Everything was wonder. Everything was great. That afternoon, he went and had some horses, and I don't know all the details, but on a Sunday afternoon, he was riding a horse, and the horse, I think, bucked him off, and he fell and hit his head on a rock, and he went out into eternity. Can I tell you? If your children don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you better call them tonight and talk to them about the Lord, because you don't know if they're going to make it through another day. You say, that's morbid. No, hey, I'm telling you, the Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. My friends, we better get ready for death, because life is uncertain. The next thing that we better understand or I want to point out to you tonight is this. Life is precious. You better make the most of each day. Just this week, I was talking to somebody and I was talking to him about my mama. I miss her. Well, I wish I could pick up that cell phone and touch that number and it'd call her. She would always eat ice. She was an ice eater like Valerie is back there. And back in those days, you know, had those ice trays, you know, you open them up. Well, she'd either use a knife or a fork and she'd beat that ice, you know, and break up that ice and chew it. And she'd do this. Even my kids, we talk about it when we all get together. And so while you're talking to her on the phone, you know, she's munching on this ice and stuff. Boy, I sure would like to hear that again. But you know, life's precious. If you've got your health today, boy, you better really enjoy it, because you know what? There's some of us that are getting older and our health is starting to decline, and boy, we wish we could go back to those days when we had our health. Relationships maybe that are severed in your life. Boy, today would be a good day to put them back together. What? Life's precious. Do you ever want to do something in life? You have a bucket list? Is there anything that you really want to do for the Lord? Oh, today would be a good day to start. Life's precious. The time that I have with CJ is precious. I tell her all the time, I think I'm going to heaven this week. But one of these days I am going to go to heaven. I try to prepare her for when I've gone. I try to where I've got my money and what she needs to do with that and stuff, you know, after I'm gone, so nobody will steal it from her, you know. I think, you know, as a single woman, you know, with all these scams, they may come in and take all of her money, you know. And so I try to talk to her, but our time is precious. We're going to go home and watch the football game after a while. Not the Cowboys, but the Chargers, not the Chargers, but the Chiefs and the Eagles. And she's going to go... And then I'm going to go to bed and I'm going to be in there sleeping, and all of a sudden I'm going to hear. And I know something is good. But you know what? That's precious. And when we go to the house of mourning, we realize how precious life is. The third thing is that there's evil in this world. We better draw nigh to God. James would say it this way, draw nigh to God and he will what? Draw nigh unto you. I can't imagine the kind of evil that it would take for a man to point a gun at somebody that is innocent and pull a trigger. I can't imagine the kind of evil that it would take for a man or a woman or anybody to go into a school and begin to shoot the most innocent among us. I can't imagine the evil that it would take for a grown man to assault a little girl. But I'm telling you, our world is full of evil. We better draw nigh to God. The next one is this, lessons to learn, is that we need a community of believers. We don't need to live in isolation. I told my Sunday school class this morning is that I'm really kind of a loner. It's one of the things that I've always struggled in ministry. I like being by myself. And I know in my life, the times that I really try to withdraw, my life doesn't go as well. You know when my life goes the best? When I get amongst a group of people that love me and care for me. You know why church is so important? Well, church is important because we get to hear the Word of God. That's important. But you know why church is important? Because you're amongst a group of people that love you and care for you. When your world gets turned upside down, you've got somebody that you can call that will be there for you. I can't tell you how many people down through the years have lost loved ones and gone through difficult times, and they've said this, I don't know what I would do without a church family. I don't know what I'd do without a church family. When my world has been broken, you know who loved me? My church family and my family. I've watched the news this week and I've watched thousands, perhaps millions of people wrap their arms around the widow of Charlie Kirk. Next Sunday they're going to have his funeral service in the football arena that the Arizona Cardinals play in Phoenix, Arizona. And you know what? There's going to be tens of thousands of people there. You know what they're going to be doing? They're going to be wrapping their arms around her. You know what you need when you go through troubles? You know what you need when you get surprised by tragedy? You need a church family that'll wrap their arms around you and say, you know what? We love you and we're here for you. I don't like to think about death any more than you do. I don't like to think about the house of mourning any more than you do. But I do know that what Solomon says is true. When you get there, your thinking changes. Because it's the end of man and you realize, hey, all the things that we thought was important, they're not important anymore. I've probably preached 150 funerals in my day. Brother Chris has preached a whole lot more. I know that I've never heard it, and I would be willing to bet you that Brother Chris has never heard it. I've never heard a kid or a family member say, you know what, I wish my dad would have worked more and made more money. I wish my mom would have been away from home more. I've never heard those things. You know why? Because when you get to the house of mourning, you realize those things are not important anymore. What's important is loving and caring and gentleness and kindness for one another. A good name is like precious ointment. The day of one's death is better than the day of one's birth. It's better to go to the house of mourning than it is to go to the house of feasting. Let's pray. Lord, we love you today. God, I pray today that we would receive the message and the spirit that it is given. And God, I pray that before we pillow our heads tonight, I pray that we would just kind of look back across this week and all the things that has happened. And God, I pray that you'd help us to realize tonight that we're all going to close our eyes in death one of these days, and we've got to be prepared. We've got to be ready. God, I pray tonight if there's one here that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, I pray tonight that they would come and let us take the Word of God and show them how they could be saved, show them how they could be ready for that day. God, I know that under the sound of my voice, there are almost everyone in here has lost someone that they love so very much. They've had to walk by a casket, or they've had to leave a hospital room with someone that has gone on to be with you. And God, I know personally how difficult that is. And God, I pray that you would give comfort and you would give peace. And God, I thank you for a church family that we have like our church family. I thank you that we have a pastor like we have, that any time of day or night you can pick up a phone and call and he'll be there. I thank you for this body of believers that has been such an encouragement and been such a blessing to me, but not only to me, but I think about the hundreds of funerals that we have had in this church and how we've been able to minister and serve and bless them. God, I pray tonight if there's anyone here that has a relationship maybe that has been severed and there's a way that they can repair it. God, I pray that maybe this week they will do something that's very difficult, pick up a phone and make a phone call. Life's precious. And God, maybe there's someone here tonight that they've always wanted to do something. God, I pray that you give them the courage and the boldness to do that tonight. God, we love you. I pray that you'd have your will and your way in our invitation tonight. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Would you stand with us, please? Martha and Linda are going to play through a verse of invitation. If God's spoken to you tonight, you come.